Ladies, that was a wonderful and beautiful song. The disciples of Jesus have been on a learning curve with Jesus as they followed him around in Galilee. They've been learning that Jesus Christ has power like no one else. They've experienced him healing diseases. They've experienced him calming the sea and the waves, like the passage we looked at last week. They've experienced him raising dead people back to life, providing miraculously for people with food, you know, just because he prayed and asked for his Heavenly Father for it. And he has a power to cast out demons. As they go along this journey, they're beginning to learn about this transforming power of Jesus. The passage we're going to look at today is one of those stories about the transforming power of Jesus. Amazing story in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And so would you stand to honor God's word, and let's read this passage of scripture from Luke 8. It says, they sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to see Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We pray today that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the disciples had just come from the other side of the lake or the Sea of Galilee over Capernaum. Remember, they had gotten in the boat and headed across to the region of Gerasenes. Jesus had fallen asleep in the boat. There was a big storm that came along, and the disciples thought they were going to drown and die. Jesus calmed the wind and the waves, and they got to the other side of the lake, to the area of Gerasenes. Now, this area that they went to was an area was a mixed population lived there, meaning both Jews and Gentiles lived there. So it was considered to be impure, an area that a Jew was, it was considered to be unclean to go in that area. The place where they landed on the shore was an area that was off limits. It was a cemetery that was possessed by two demon-possessed men that were wild and out of their minds and violent, and no one went in that area because it was scary. These were bad people, and no one went there. But Jesus goes right there, and I'm suggesting to you, it's a divine appointment. He knew he was going there when he got in the boat at Capernaum. They were sailing over to meet this guy that had a divine appointment with Jesus to set him free. The transforming power of Jesus. We see that the power of Jesus defeats the demons. When Jesus steps on the shore, he's met by a man that you can hardly imagine what this man looks like. He isn't wearing clothes. He is dirty. He's been living in tombs. He has wounds all over him from cutting himself from rocks, scabs and scars and bruises and open wounds. He is violent. He chases everybody away that comes in the area. He has supernatural strength almost because people had chained him and he just broke the chains. He at nighttime, he roams around the cemetery just screaming and yelling. He's in torment, this man. He is a man without rest, without home, without family, with no hope and no life, really. It is a sad, sad picture. Jesus and his disciples land at this part of the coast, and this man runs up to him. Now, he's used to people running away from him when they run up to him, when they see him, because he's a violent, dangerous man. Jesus walks right out of the boat, steps out of the boat. This man runs to him, and the man falls down on his knees before Jesus Christ. This man, it says in the scripture, was a demon-possessed man. Now, a little bit of information about demons so we understand the story here. Demons are fallen angels. Demons are angels that were created by God to serve God, and some of them rebelled against God with the devil. They were cast out of heaven. They live in a state of constant rebellion against God, trying to frustrate the will of God in the lives of people. They are real, and they are active in our world. We don't want to focus too much on them today because the focus is on Jesus, not on demons. But we need to know that they are real and they're active and trying to do what they can to keep people away from God, to keep people from trusting in God. This man was demon-possessed, which means he had, throughout time, given over some area of his life to demonic influences, and they've taken over more and more and more of his life until at this point in his life, he is controlled by these demonic forces. When the man comes to Jesus, it's not him speaking, it's a demon that's speaking through this man. The demons have inhabited him. Now, the demons here recognize who Jesus is. They knew that Jesus was God. They knew that. When they came, the demon-possessed man said, it's actually the demon speaking, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The demons, see, demons do not know everything. They don't. But they do know who Jesus is. Remember, they were created by Jesus. He's the creator of everything. They had seen Jesus in heaven before they rebelled and worshiped him. They knew who Jesus was, that he was the Son of the Most High. That's an Old Testament name for God. They'd rebelled and were cast out of heaven, but they knew who he was. So it made me wonder the question, why would they come to Jesus if they knew who he was? Why would they lead that man to run to Jesus and fall at his feet? And I think the reason is they are terrified. They're in the presence of God himself who came to their shore, and they're wondering what's going to happen to themselves. They're not coming to confront Jesus. They're not coming. They're just coming out of fear, wondering, what are you going to do to us? That's what they're worried about. They knew he was God. They also knew Jesus was more powerful than them. They knew that. There's no comparison in power between Jesus and demons. Jesus is the creator of everything in heaven and earth. He's the creator. Demons are created creatures that God has created that fell away from God. There's no comparison between Jesus and demons. They're concerned about what he's going to do to them. They said, "Don't torture us." Now, Jesus asked the demon what his name was, and he said, "Legion." Legion's not a name, right? The Romans called a group of 6,000 soldiers a legion. So the legion, and the demon says, "We are legion because there's many of us." So there wasn't just one demon controlling this man. There were many demons. We don't know how many. There was 2,000 pigs that the demons went into that went into the sea, and some people have speculated, well, there must have been 2,000 demons. We don't know how many demons, but there's a lot of demons. So much so that he would say, "We are legion, many demons." So think about it for a moment. Jesus is outnumbered, but it doesn't matter. He's not outmatched. You see, it doesn't matter. There could be 2 million demons and it wouldn't matter. Demons, it wouldn't matter. Because Jesus is all powerful. And the demons knew that Jesus was more powerful than them. They just wondered what they were going to do to him. They couldn't do anything to Jesus. Whatever grip the demons had on this world is broken by Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross and shed his blood for the sins of the world, when he was raised back to life, the grip that the devil has on the world and people in the world is broken in the name of Jesus. The devil knew that, and the demons knew that. So the question for us before we go on is, do we know that? Do we realize that the devil is defeated? Do we live our lives in victory or in defeat? When we pray, do we pray from a place of defeat or victory? Because there's victory in the name of Jesus, just like we sang a few minutes ago. Victory in the name of Jesus Christ. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, says in 1 John 4:4. That's Jesus Christ. He is in us. The demons also knew that Jesus had authority over them. Imagine the scene. I imagine the herdsmen that were taking care of the pigs on the hill watching these boats sail to their shore. They'd seen people try to go in the cemetery before, and it didn't end well for the people that went in there. And so they're wondering, this is going to be interesting, watching these guys go in. They're going to get chased off just like everybody else. And they see the man run toward Jesus and the disciples. He's screaming, he's yelling, he's out of his mind. And he stops in front of Jesus and falls to the ground. Now that's not an act of worship. It's in submission to the authority of Jesus. Remember, the demons are controlling this man, and they can't do anything except just fall down in front of Jesus. He had authority over them. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Again, I need to ask you the question, the demons knew that, do we know that? That Jesus has all authority. His authority over the evil demonic forces that are in our world. He has authority. We need to pray, realizing that authority that Jesus has. The demons also knew that Jesus was going to judge them. They asked Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. Now, what's the abyss? Well, it's found in the book of Revelation. And it's a place of punishment. It's kind of a prison for demons that's given in the book of Revelation where they will be imprisoned. And they're telling Jesus, we know we're going there someday. Don't send us there yet. Don't send us to the abyss. Instead, they said, send us into those herd of pigs. Now, there's a lot of mystery here because I don't know why they asked to go into the pigs, and I don't know why Jesus let them go into the pigs. It's not very clear from the scripture. Some people think that because this was an area of mixed Jews and Gentiles, that it could have been Jews were raising these pigs and selling them for profit, because Jews don't eat pigs, right? And Jesus just put them out of business. Let's take care of this while we're here. You're done, okay? I don't know. It could be that when Jesus allowed the demons to go into the pigs, and the pigs got all upset when the demons came in and ran into the sea and drowned, that was the way the demons ended up in the abyss. I don't know. It's kind of a strange thing that happened here. What it did show, though, is that the demons had left the man and went and be with the pigs. The man was free. He was delivered from the demonic influence in his life. The angels knew about this judgment, that Jesus had authority to judge. John 12 says, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of the world will be driven out. The demons know that. Let's talk about the power of Jesus to transform people. This is an amazing story, the transformation of this man and how he was changed in this story. The town people heard about the story. They heard about the pigs, that the pig farmers were out of business. They heard about that. They heard about the man that was changed, and they came out to see. They came out to an area that they never went out to before because it was too dangerous. But now they come to the cemetery. They see the man sitting at Jesus' feet. He's dressed. He's in his right mind. Amazing picture. Have you ever seen those videos that people post sometimes where they find a homeless man on the street that's dirty and unkept, and they clean him up, and they give him a haircut, and they put a suit and tie on him, and how drastic they look? That's the picture here. This man is cleaned up. He's dressed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And these people come out, and everybody tells him, this is what happened. Jesus cast these demons out of him, and he's changed. He's transformed, and they can see it with their own eyes, sitting at the feet of Jesus. It reminds me of this promise in the scripture. It says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. This man is a new creation in Christ. Amazing transformation. I love trying to picture that scene. The wild man sitting there at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Totally transformed. He is transformed from a demon-possessed man to a child of God. See, he was controlled by the demons. And that control was broken in just a moment by Jesus. And now he's free. It's not recorded us in the gospel, but I know for sure that Jesus had a conversation with this man about his need for forgiveness and that he was forgiven of his sins and he became a child of God. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What a transformation. From out of control wild man to a child of God. A loved child of God. He had a change from a living among the dead to experience life. He lived in a cemetery, in tombs on the hillside. Probably, even though he lived in tombs, he probably never found rest. He just wandered around these tombs. This was where he lived, surrounded by death, living in an atmosphere of death. And that's what the enemy wants to do to us, to surround us with death. But he met Jesus, Jesus who conquers sin and death. And he was given freedom. Jesus said these words in John 5. He says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. So this man, he has crossed over from death to life. He's going to leave the cemetery and go live his life. But he's already crossed over from death to life right at that moment because of Jesus Christ. What a transformation. He was changed from a tormenting chaos to amazing peace. The man was totally out of control. Violent, angry, screaming. No one dared come near him because he was so violent and so strong. But Jesus, isn't this amazing, sailed right to his home on purpose. On purpose to this violent, scary man. To change him. And now he sits at Jesus' feet at peace and in his right mind. Paul, in his testimony in Acts 26, is talking about God's call upon his life. And he says, I was called to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is what's happened to this man. He's been rescued from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, forgiveness of sins, and a place in those that are sanctified by faith. Amazing thing that happened to him. He was saved from bondage to sin to freedom in Christ. This man had become a slave to demonic forces. Now, so we can understand this, this doesn't happen without a person's permission. You know, some people worry that demons are going to possess you. No, they won't, unless you let them. They're not going to come in and take over. This man had given the demons a foothold in his life sometime in the past, and this foothold had grown and grown until he had taken over. You know, the devil is tricky the way he does this. He promises us freedom if we just do what you want to do. Ignore what God says. Just do what you want to do and you'll find the freedom that you want. And all the while you do that, you found you become bound with chains from the enemy. You don't get freedom, you get bondage. This man was in bondage to sin. But he was set free by Jesus. He found freedom in Jesus Christ. Jesus sailed to this shore to save this man and set this man free on purpose. This man didn't deserve to be set free, but Jesus set him free anyway, grace, God's amazing grace. Jesus said, I came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. This is a prison break. He came to this prison and broke this guy out, defeated his captors, and set him free. This man was saved from lack of control to a right mind. He was totally out of control before, a threat to the whole community and himself. Mark tells us that, Mark's gospel says, no one could subdue him. They put chains on him. He would just break them. I mean, this is an out of control, super strong man. But now here he sits in his right mind, in his right mind. From no control to great self-control at the feet of Jesus. It's one of the main ways the enemy likes to attack us in our minds. So we need to be on our guard. He tries to take over our minds and our thinking patterns slowly and carefully. He does it, but we do it. We allow it when we give the devil a foothold in our life. Maybe it's a little compromise, just a little subtle adjustment, maybe just a little strain from the truth, a little lie, a little disobedience to God, you know, and we let the devil have a foothold in our life, and he works there to try to expand that territory until he really gets a little bit more control and more control, and all of a sudden we realize, you know, I'm not thinking like a child of God. I'm not thinking biblically, and the devil has got a foothold in our minds so he can begin to control us with our thoughts. If that has happened to you, you need to run to Jesus, just like this man did, and get your mind restored and hold unswervingly to the truth of God's word. Be firmly grounded in his truth and not give in or not compromise one little inch. No compromise. We're going to stay with it. Not let the devil get any area in our minds. If there's ever been a time in history where we as followers of Jesus need a sound mind, it's now. It's now. We need to be of a sound mind, not controlled by anything the enemy has for us. This man was changed from loneliness to relationship. He lived an isolated life, no friends, no family, no community. It says in this story, the demons drove him to isolated places. He was a loner, alone and tormented being alone. And yet Jesus came and offered him a relationship with him. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That word know means a personal knowledge, a relationship. Jesus had a relationship with this demon, formerly demon-possessed man. He moved from loneliness to relationship. And this is another trick of the enemy that he likes to do to us. He likes to isolate us from people and from relationships with other believers in Christ. And if he can't isolate you physically, he'll isolate you mentally, and he'll make you think you're all alone. No one cares about what you're going through. You know, no one understands you. You're all alone. And he'll try to isolate you. It's a lie from the enemy. We're created to have a relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with each other. This man was changed from being an outcast. Now he belongs. He was rejected before, and now he's accepted. He was a loner, but now he's part of the family of God. He's able to go home. He's able to go back to his community. He's restored to relationship. This man was changed from self-destruction to self-transformation. Mark's gospel said he was so tormented that he would cut himself with stones. Not only was he dangerous to others, but dangerous to himself. Now he's been set free from that self-destructive pattern. And he is truly himself. When Jesus landed on that shore and saw the demon-possessed man, he looked beyond the demons and saw a man created in the image of God. Now this image had been marred by sin, but you know what? Jesus is able to transform it back into the image of God, back into the person that he was created to be. This man was changed, and transformed into the person that God created him to be. He was changed from a terrorizing menace to an amazing witness. He went from a scary, intimidating figure that everybody ran from to be a person ready to go witness for Christ. He asked Jesus, "Let me go with you. I want to go. I volunteer. Let me go. And Jesus said, "Nope, you're not going with me. You're going to go home, and you're going to tell everybody what I've done for you." He was going to be the first missionary to the Gentile world, really. Go, tell the news. Go tell people about it. Mark's gospel tells us that he went to the Decapolis and began to share the good news of Jesus, what he'd done for him. Decapolis was a league of 10 cities close to Galilee around there, mostly with Greeks that had built them. There was a lot of Gentiles that lived in these cities. And this guy went out and started sharing all that Jesus had done for him. And it says the people were amazed at what they heard. I love to think about this. What a transformation. This violent man filled with demonic forces, now he's the missionary that's going to go, "I'm going to go tell those people about Jesus." Kind of reminds you of the Apostle Paul story, isn't it? Where Paul came from Saul to Paul and went out and shared the story. Amazing what he has done here in this story. What a transformation. The people of the town, however, were not changed. This man went out and told them, "Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what God has done for me." This is what he went out to do. He was telling people what God had done for him. You know, witnessing is really not that complicated. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to go to a seminar. You don't have to go to college to learn how to witness. You're just telling what Jesus has done for you. It's pretty simple. We can all do that, right? I don't see anybody saying right, but I mean, I know you want to say right. Tell what Jesus had done for you. The people came out from the town. They want to check it out. They heard the story. They heard the story about this man being healed, and the demons are gone. They heard about the pigs, and they see the pigs, excuse the picture, floating in the Sea of Galilee out here. And they want to know what's going on. And they come down to an area that they don't go down to because it's scary, you know. But now they can go. And the power of Jesus frightens unrepentant people. That's what we see in this story. They came, and they were filled with an unholy fear. Now, there's a difference between a holy fear and an unholy fear. Holy fear will lead someone to repentance. Unholy fear leads people to rejection. These people saw what happened. They could not deny that this man had experienced a miracle and that Jesus had done it. They knew they were in the presence of a miracle, and they were afraid. They were afraid, and they asked Jesus to leave. Now, people wonder why. Some people think that they were afraid because they thought Jesus was going to ruin all the other businesses in town. "You took care of the pig business, you know, you're a scary guy, get out of here." But I think there's more to it than that. They knew that evil had just been defeated and this man had been transformed. They're aware of that. They're confronted with the transferring power of God, and they don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to be changed. They don't want to be transformed. They would rather live with the demonic in the cemetery than Jesus Christ in their hearts. It's a sad choice, but that's what they choose. It's what Jesus said in John 3 when he says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." These guys don't want to change. It's fascinating. You know, you remember the story in John chapter 4 when Jesus was sharing with the Samaritan woman at the well, and she was changed. She went back town, told everybody. The town came out, and all kinds of people believed, but not in Gerizines. They had an unholy fear. People refused to believe in Jesus. Even though they saw the amazing miracle, they could not discount it. They couldn't explain it away. This man's story was a powerful testimony. They rejected Jesus. They refused to believe in Jesus. And the people rejected their only hope. Their only hope. They asked Jesus to leave, and here's the real sad part of the story. Jesus left. picture it with me for a moment. The people standing on the shore, watching Jesus and his disciples and all the other people in the boats sailing away. Their only hope is in that boat. And he's sailing away. They've rejected him. There's no record in the Gospels of Jesus ever going back to Gerizenes. This was their chance. You see, Jesus didn't come to Gerizenes just for that man in the cemetery. He came for all of them. He came for all of them. He loved all of them. He would have saved all of them if they believed in him. They watched him sail away. Jesus Christ is the all-powerful Son of God. There is no power that can stand up to Jesus. No demonic power can stand up to Jesus Christ. He'll rescue anyone who has given over control of part of their lives to the enemy. He'll rescue you if you'll turn to Jesus, repent, and trust in him. So my question for you today, as we get ready to close up, don't let Jesus sail away today. He's here. You could say that his ship has sailed right to your shore today with his amazing transforming power. Don't let him sail away. Don't reject him. It could be that some of you are here today and you're just tired of the kind of life you're living. Let Jesus set you free. Let him transform you. Don't let him sail away. Could be that some of you are here and you're tired of being controlled by habits and patterns that are not pleasing to God and rob you of life. And let Jesus set you free. Let him transform your life. Don't let him sail away. Could be that you're tired of living a powerless, boring, predictable life where nothing's happening spiritually, just kind of you're in a rut spiritually, and you need to let Jesus set you free, transform you. Don't let him sail away. Some of you might be tired of an area in your life or area of your life where you're just, the devil has got fighting you. Maybe it's a habitual temptation that leads to a habitual sin, and you're just tired of that fight, and you need to let Jesus set you free. Transform. He is all powerful. He can set you free. He sailed right to the shore of your life today. Don't hide from him. Don't run from him. Don't ignore him. Don't send him away. Run to him. Run to him. He can set you free and transform your life. We're going to sing a song together. And it's an old song of invitation. It says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." And let me just assure you, he won't pass you by. But he will leave if you send him away. As we sing this song, if you need to come pray, you can come pray about anything that you want to pray about in your life. But it could be there's some people here today that need to be set free. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He will and he can set you free from whatever struggle you have in your life. Something is going on. You need to be set free. You can be set free just like that man was on the shore of Gerizim, was set free and transformed to go out and be a witness of what God had done for him, Jesus had done for him. He can set you free. Don't leave here without being set free. Don't let Jesus sail away. This is your moment. That was their moment and they missed it. This could be your moment where Jesus set you free.